Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight for the opportunity we have to gather together in your name. And Lord, we know how blessed we are to have a safe place to come and gather together. Now I pray that you would bless this time. And as we look at Solomon's interaction with you, as the temple's finished, as your glory filled the temple, Lord, I pray that it would just, Lord, I pray it grip our hearts so strong. And God, that we would be men and women who are simply in awe of our God and how great you are. And Lord, as we walk with you and serve you, that we would just know that you're going to do a tremendous thing in our lives and you're going to do a tremendous thing through us. So I pray, God, again, that you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, once again, when we left off last time, remember that Solomon had got to the place, he's getting ready to dedicate the temple. We talked about the glory of the Lord filling the temple, and then we kind of stopped and kind of put it on a little bit of hold. Now we're going to see where Solomon begins to pray and talk to the Lord about the temple, and mainly, though, about what's going to go on with Israel and the Lord. And I think that's important. But something to keep in mind is that Solomon uses the word here or something similar to that over 11 times. In other words, he's really crying out to the Lord to hear him. He's expressing and giving his heart to the Lord. Now, I love reading this prayer. And it's one of the longest recorded prayers we have, and yet it's really not that long. You know, sometimes as we pray, sometimes we feel like we sort of have to impress God. And you know what? God doesn't care about our vocabulary. You know, I think he wants it clean, but he doesn't care about, listen, he doesn't care if we're real intellects, or he just wants our heart. He wants to hear our heart. And that's what I feel Solomon is doing. Solomon's pouring out his heart to the Lord. And he's pouring out his heart not just for Solomon, but for the nation. And what he feels about the nation, and he gets a little bit prophetic even in his prayer as he goes through this. But listen, this is a powerful time. This is sort of like eavesdropping in my mind. This is kind of like eavesdropping into someone's quiet time, which, you know, probably is not a great thing to do, but we get to do it with Solomon, and we get to check out how he really understood his relationship with the Lord. So look at verse 22 and 23. Then we'll flip over to Chronicles and pick up on something. But 22 says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the assembly of Israel, and he spread out his hands toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven above or on earth below like you, who keep your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all of their hearts." You kind of get the idea that Solomon's pretty impressed with God, right? He really feels at this time such a closeness and such a connection with God, and he understands that God is so faithful. If there's one thing that you should get out of this prayer, is Solomon has a grasp on the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God. Now, I want to go to Chronicles. We'll come right back to this, but I want to go to Chronicles just for a minute because it's kind of cool what Chronicles tells us. So flip over to Chronicles chapter 6. Keep your finger here. Flip over to Chronicles 6, and let's read the first couple verses there, because Chronicles lets us in on something else that Kings doesn't. It says, "Then Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands, for Solomon had made a bronze platform 5 cubits long, 5 cubits wide, 3 cubits high, and he had set it in the midst of the court, and he stood on it, and listen, and knelt down on his knees before all the assembly of Israel and spread out his hands toward to heaven." So here's what Chronicles lets us know. He had some kind of platform that he had built for this special occasion. And as he got on it, listen, he didn't just stand and pray the whole time. He got on his knees. Now, I know sometimes people go, what is the proper posture for prayer? And the proper posture is whatever you feel like doing. I think there are times where we should be kneeling. I think there's times where our faces should be on the floor. And you know what? But most importantly, it's not your physical posture as much as your heart. Where's your heart at? You know, I've seen people kneel whose heart were totally not into it. They're just going through a ritualistic sort of thing. So listen, but the fact that Solomon, in front of all of the people, remember last time we talked about Israel's gathered. And we're going to see a whole bunch of people were there because they slaughtered like something like 120,000 sheep, we're going to see in a moment. That's a lot of lamb for, you know, to be eating. So listen, all these people are gathered there. He's on a platform that he built out of bronze, and he kneels down, and then he says sort of the same thing that we just read, verse 14. He says, Lord God of Israel, there is no God in heaven or on earth like you who keeps your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you with all of their heart. So now go back. What we're going to read in Kings is pretty much paralleled here in Chronicles. So we're going to read it out of Kings. So listen, he lays that out, and then he says, he continues a little bit more before he really gets into the prayer. And in verse 24, Solomon says, You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father, and you have spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand as it is this day. Therefore, Lord God of Israel, now keep what you promised your servant David, my father, saying you shall not fail to have a man sit before me on the throne of Israel, only if your sons take heed to their way, that they walk before me as you have walked before me. And now, I pray, O God of Israel, let your word come true that you have spoken to your servant David my father. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I built? So here's what Solomon understands. God is not going to come and dwell in that temple. That's like a duh, right? But Solomon gets it. And Solomon, listen, Solomon, I believe he might even just be praying for the people. But here's what he does understand. That temple's very important. And we said it last week, and I want to say it again. God does not need the temple, but listen carefully, the temple needs God. Just like God doesn't need Israel, but Israel needs the Lord. Just like God doesn't need the church, but the church needs the Lord. You kind of get what we're talking about here? And I think it's vitally important we understand that. It's not that, listen, it's not that God needed a place to live, like he was homeless or something, and Solomon finally got him a house. But listen, that house needed the presence of God, and the people of Israel needed desperately to know that God was going to be present there in a special way. Not dwell there, but be present there. So as he cries out, he understands God's been faithful to his father David. Now he's faithful to him, and he wants the Lord. Listen, he wants the Lord's presence there. Now he's going to do, listen, now he's going to kind of do some you know, prayers where he's going to prophesy a little bit. He's going to look to the future. He's going to look at Israel as they are. He's kind of sort of going to go back and forth. But here's what I love about this. It's honest. This prayer is really revealing the heart of Solomon and as he speaks about the people. And it should be, listen, it should be how we approach God. I tell people this. You can tell God anything, can't you? You should, because he knows everything, right? It's like when you tell things to God, it's not like he's shocked that he, you know, found that out about you. And, you know, I like this saying, what can you tell a God who already knows everything? What can't you tell a God who already knows everything, right? Then so you discuss it with him. So Solomon's opening up his heart here, and he says, listen, he says, as he's talking about God, doesn't dwell in a temple, he says, yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today, that your eyes may be opened toward this temple, night and day, toward the place of which you said, my name shall be there, that you may hear the prayer which your servant makes toward this place. Now, a couple things you might pay attention and go back and look up that I think is sort of important, that I don't know that we really have time to really go in depth, but I want you to notice he talks about prayer, he talks about supplication, he talks about crying out. All of those are all synonyms for what he's doing here, and we need to understand that. Man, there are times where, you know, supplication is asking God for things. Crying out is just really dumping on God, right? And I think it's important sometimes for us to dump on God. He can handle it. You know, he's not going to like hang up on you. Oh, I don't want to hear it. You know? And so listen, but there's also times where we have requests of him. And there's times where we're just praying to him and asking him for things. Solomon's doing all of that. Here's what he's saying, Lord, when people, and we're going to get into it a little bit, when people face this temple and pray, I want you to hear them. This is going to be something that's going to be important for Israel for generations. So he lays that out, tells the God, and then he tells him in verse 30, he says, and may you hear the supplication of your servant and your people Israel when they pray toward this place, here in heaven, your dwelling place, and when you hear, forgive. There's the big thing. We're going to see Solomon all through this prayer crying out for God to forgive his people. And here's what's kind of crazy. At this point in time, Israel's doing really good. You know, this is like their high point of doing good, of being faithful to God, of following God. Solomon's doing really good at this point. Everything's kind of in one of those good things. And yet, here's what Solomon knows. If there's one thing that we need and that they need, is forgiveness. Why? Because we sin. And we need forgiveness. So Solomon, you know, is making sure he lays that ground. Now he's going to talk about some of it. Look at verse 31 as he goes through this and as he begins here. And he tells them, listen, when anyone sins against his neighbor and is forced to take an oath and comes and takes an oath before your altar in this temple, then hear in heaven and act and judge your servants condemning and the wicked, bringing his way on his head and justifying the righteous and giving him according to his righteousness. Now he's talking to God about being faithful, and you know, I think sometimes we have to be careful because sometimes we get a little bit upset with our neighbor, and I'm talking about our neighbor, and we might want to say a prayer like this. Lord, just bring judgment on them right now. Just, you know, bring down the fire. And it's probably going to come on your house instead. But listen, you read this stuff. Remember that Solomon, it's a whole different thing because he's talking about the neighbors of Israel. He's talking about the nations around them that are hostile towards them. And for homework, you got to read Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. And when you read Deuteronomy 28, go ahead and read Deuteronomy 29, you know, and kind of get some information because, listen, all of that ties in to what Solomon is praying, especially when he talks about justice. So listen, he tells them that, but then he says to them in verse 33, when your people Israel are defeated, now that's kind of interesting, isn't it? How he's bringing up the fact that Israel's going to be defeated. Wow. Remember, Israel's just conquered everything. And through King David, remember, they've stretched their borders and they've taken all of the land that God has told them to take, pretty much, you know, as close as they've ever gotten. And all of a sudden, listen, all of a sudden as Solomon's praying, he says, when, not if. Some of your translations might say if, but it's when your people Israel are defeated. Here's what he knows. There's some rough times for Israel. And you know what? I read this and here's what I think of myself. There's times I'm defeated. There's times when, you know what, the enemy gets me. And I'm just in that place and I'm saying, man, listen what he prays, because this is for us. When Israel are defeated before the enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back to you and confess your name and pray and make supplication to you in this temple, then hear in heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land which you gave to their fathers. You see what he's saying? Is God, be a forgiving God. God, listen to your people. And when they confess, when we come to the Lord and we confess to the Lord, here's the great thing he does. He cleanses us, right? In John, what does he tell us in 1 John chapter 1? If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Most of us stop there in that verse, but you know what else he goes on to say? And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We're cleansed, and that's what he's talking about here. And Solomon's going, man, when they confess and they do that, then cleanse them, then heal them, then you know, listen to them and forgive them and bring them back to the land. Then verse 35, we're going to talk about some plagues that are going to hit Israel. All of this is interesting about how prophetic it is. He says, when the heavens are shut up, and there is no rain because they have sinned against you. Also notice that every time something happens to Israel, it's because of sin. You know, sometimes if you guys are like me, are you guys like me? Do you ever get before God and go, why me, Lord? Why are you doing this to me? And we do that and he says, because you sin? That's why. Oh, it's because I sin? Yeah, he says, yeah, if you stop doing that, you're not going to have consequences in your life, right? So Israel, listen, notice, every time something happens, Solomon knows why they're going to be defeated. They're going to be defeated because they're going to sin against God. And listen, it doesn't mean God is punishing them for sinning. It means when you sin, you forget God. When you forget God, then you don't have the victory that you need to have in your life. When you forget God, then the rain stops, etc., because you're going in the wrong direction. So, listen, he says, when the heavens are shut up and there's no rain because the people have sinned against you, when they pray toward this place and confess your name, turn from their sin because you afflicted them. Then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants, your people Israel, that you may teach them the good way in which they should walk and send rain on your land, which you have given to your people as an inheritance. When there is famine in the land and pestilence or blight or mildew or locusts or grasshoppers, and when their enemy besieges them in the land of their cities, whenever a plague or whatever sickness they're in, you're kind of getting, this is the real downer part, right? You're going, I don't like this part. He says, whenever, listen, whatever prayer, whatever supplication is made by anyone or by all your people, Israel, when each one knows the plague of his own heart. Oh, did you pick that up? You know, sometimes we tend to read these things and we're going, this is kind of boring. Right? And you're reading it, I don't care about plagues, I don't care about grasshoppers, I don't care about locusts, I don't care about those things. I'm kind of getting, did you notice in the middle of this? This is what I love about the Lord. Sometimes in those places, because I'm like some of you guys. Sometimes I just start blowing through my Bible, right? Want to do your Bible reading? And you kind of go through it. Listen, and then all of a sudden, listen, God like zings you with something, right? And right in the middle of this, listen, right in the middle of this, he says, and each one knows the plague of his own heart. Oh, the issue once again is not the land, not the enemy, not the grasshoppers, not the locusts, not the plagues. The issue is the heart. This heart, listen, he tells us our heart is deceitfully wicked. When each one knows the plague of his own heart and he spreads out his hands toward this temple, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and forgive and act and give to everyone according to all his ways whose hearts you know, for you alone know the hearts of all the sons of men. There's an interesting little tidbit, huh? That they may fear you all the days that they live in the land which you gave our forefathers. So listen, who knows our heart? The Lord. Some people say, well, but I really know my heart. No, your heart's deceitfully wicked. You need to talk to God about your heart. You need to come to the Lord. You need to be honest with the Lord. And here's what I tell people. Listen, if you want to get real with God and you want to grow and you want to change and you want to take, listen, you want to take your life to the level that even Solomon is experiencing here, then you got to be real with God and you got to be honest. And you got to come to God and you got to ask God to reveal your heart to you. When you do that, sit down first. Because this is going to be, listen, it's going to be a little bit overwhelming. Because he's going to reveal your heart to you. And he's going to begin to show you what's really in there. And he's going to begin to show you what really needs to be cleansed. And listen, Solomon got an understanding of that. Here's the thing. I find this fascinating because this is early on in his life. Then Solomon kind of, in my mind, goes through a backsliding state and writes Ecclesiastes and marries all those women and does stuff. And then towards the end of his life, he sort of swings back the other way and gets back right with the Lord and goes through that. Now, here's what I think. Why did he waste all those years in between? I don't know about you guys, but I'm really bummed. I didn't get saved till I was in my 30s. And that was like 5 years ago. But listen, I didn't get saved till I was in my 30s, and it's sort of a drag because here's what I thought. All of those years I wasted not knowing the Lord, and you know, man, I wish I could have known the Lord as a young person. I wish I would have been brought up just loving God and knowing God, and you know what? And so part of me, I try and make up for that time, and I try and do things, and I, you know, all the time since I've known the Lord, I've kind of been, you know, on a speed run with Him. I want to do this. I want to get this done. I'm going to move to this thing. I'm going to do this because I want to make up for it. And here's what he's saying, man. You got to know the plagues in your heart. You got to get rid of those things. You got to deal with those things. And God knows your heart. Be honest with him. Now Solomon, listen, now here's what Solomon's going to blow their mind. You have to remember, I don't think this was a silent prayer. You know, I believe, I know when I'm doing my quiet time, I do it quietly. Some people do their quiet time loudly, but I do my quiet time quietly. You know, I just pray in my heart and talk to the Lord in my heart and stuff. This wasn't that. Listen, you need to understand, this was not a quiet time. This is Solomon on a platform in front of the people saying these things out loud. Now imagine so far what we've read. If you're all of the nation of Israel and you're gathered around Solomon, I think some people are going, you say what? Right? Because he's talked about some heavy stuff coming down. And I think some are going, Solomon, why are you saying those things? What are you talking about? And some, you know, sometimes we get a little self-righteous and not me, that would never happen to me. And then you're it, right? Tag. So Solomon, listen, Solomon's done that. Now Solomon's going to throw, I believe, Solomon's going to throw the curveball of all curveballs or knuckleballs of all knuckleballs in the middle of this prayer. And this should blow some of their minds as they're standing around here. Listen what he says next that's rather interesting. Moreover, concerning the foreigner who is not your people Israel. All of a sudden, listen, Solomon's praying for Israel. We're dedicating the temple. We're talking about the place where his name is going to dwell. We're talking all about the God of Israel and doing things and having the God of Israel. And now all of a sudden, he's bringing up foreigners? What's he bringing up those guys for? This is about us, right? This is all about us. I love this, man. This is so good. Listen, he brings up foreigners, and he says, moreover, concerning the foreigner who is not your people Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake. Oh, see, people are seeking God from far away. And you know who is letting them know about God at that time? Israel. That was their job. That's why they existed. They existed to point people to God. And now, listen, he's saying they're coming for his name's sake. Oh, and then he says this, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand and your outstretched arm when he comes and he prays towards this temple here in heaven, your dwelling place, and do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you that all peoples, I underline that in my Bible. Listen, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do the people of Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. See, Solomon understands something. This is so much bigger than the nation of Israel. So much greater than the nation of Israel. Now he's letting God know these people are going to come and we want them to know you. You know, sometimes as a church, we get a little bit introverted. We get a little bit focused inward. And we start thinking, well, what about this? And you know what I find when we get focused inward? You know what happens when we get focused inward? We start like getting a little bit bickering going on. Now, I've lived in Arizona all my life, but I hear where they have seasons in the rest of the world. And there's like winter time, and you get closed in, and when your kids are in the house all winter long, what do the kids do when they start closed in the house all winter long? They start what? Fighting and bickering. You know what? That's what we do as Christians when we get all introverted and start thinking of just ourselves. We want to argue about the silliest things. Well, you know, do you believe in predestination? What difference does that make right now? There are people dying and going to hell. Why do we want to sit and argue about those sort of things? Well, because, puff, puff, I want to be a little intellectual. Yeah, it's because you're locked in the house. That's why you need to get out of the house. And here's what Solomon's saying, man. He's going, let's look out there. And let's think about all the people out there. Here's what Solomon's saying. There's people all around the world that need to hear about God. And the only way they're going to hear about the God of the Bible, the God of heaven, is through us, guys. And the way they're going to hear is because we're going to have this temple. We're going to be worshiping our God. We're not going to be fighting. We're not going to be arguing. We're not going to be bickering at each other. You know what? We're going to be worshiping our God. And when we worship our God, here's what people are going to say. I want to know that God. Tell me something about that, God, because there's something going on in your heart, something going on in your life, and I don't have that. So Solomon lets him know from the beginning, that's what it's all about. Oh, now comes the bomb. Check out what he does now. He says, verse 44, when your people go out to battle against their enemy, oh, the bomb will be in a minute. This is a little grenade. When your people go out against the enemy, wherever you send them, and when they pray to the Lord toward this city which you have chosen and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven their prayer and their supplication and maintain their cause. Now, that's a little prayer for the army, right? For the military people. Now, when they sin against you, here he is again, when the people sin against you, right? For there is no one who does not sin. Solomon makes all that clear. Listen, everyone sins. Everyone. And Solomon lets them know, listen, when your people sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin. And he says, and you become angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, that they take them captive to a land of the enemy, far or near. Yet when they come to themselves in the land, when they were the land where they were carried captive, and repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and done wrong, and we have committed wickedness. And when they return to you with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies, and who led them away captive, and pray to you toward their land which you gave to their fathers, the city which you have chosen, and the temple which I have built for your name, then hear in heaven your dwelling place and their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you and all their transgressions which they have transgressed against you, and grant them compassion before those who took them captive, that they may have compassion on them, for they are your people and your inheritance, who you brought out of Egypt, out from the iron furnaces, that your eyes may be open to the supplication of your servant and to the supplication of your people Israel, to listen to them whenever they call on you. For you separated them from among all the peoples of the earth to be your inheritance, and you spoke by your servant Moses when you brought out our fathers out of Egypt, O Lord God. Listen, that's the end of his prayer. But isn't that powerful? Because that happens, doesn't it? The very thing he talks about happens. And remember in the book of Daniel? Remember when they wanted to bust Daniel? The only thing they could get Daniel on was the fact that he prayed. Right? And he prayed 3 times a day. And when he prayed, what did Daniel do when he prayed? He went up in his room, he opened his window, and prayed toward Jerusalem. You see, Daniel had a major flaw in his life, if you want to say it's a flaw. Daniel had this problem. He believed the Bible. And Daniel believed the Bible with all of his heart. And listen, I believe Daniel spent some time reading Solomon's prayer here. And I believe Daniel said, well, Solomon asked God, when we're captive, if we pray to him and we come to our senses and we confess our sins and we pray to God, that God will hear us and God will deliver us. So what did Daniel do every day of his life in captivity? He prayed toward Jerusalem. And you got to think about, listen, he was in captivity 70 years. 70 years, every day he prayed to God. Do you ever get tired and fear that God and feel that God doesn't hear you? Well, God, I prayed. How come nothing's happening? Well, wait. Okay, I'll wait a year. Well, no, a year's too long. I'll wait 6 months. Well, that's a long time too. How about a day? Because that's what most of us feel. Think of Daniel and his faithfulness. And here was his problem. You know why Daniel prayed every day? Because he believed God. And he believed God was faithful. And he believed, listen, he believed God's word. And you and I need to have that in our hearts. Listen, we need to know, no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter how difficult, and listen carefully, no matter how unfair it seems, God knows exactly where you're at. And you need to cry out to God. And you need to talk to God. And you need to let God know that you know that He knows. And you need to let God know that He knows. And you kind of feel like maybe He doesn't care. It's okay to tell God that. Listen, God has no insecurities. You're not going to like freak Him out if you like tell Him, God, I don't think you care. He's not going to go, oh, I'm so worried about what you think about me. He's good, okay? He's good. Be honest with Him. And listen, I read this and Solomon puts it all out there. Here's what's going to happen. And you know what? Daniel prayed and what happened? God heard Daniel's prayer. And God delivered the people. And God brought in and got them out of there. So listen, no matter how bad it seems, and here's the thing, here's what he says. He says, God, you made promises to Moses. You made promises to Moses when you brought us up out of Egypt. Now that was 400 years ago or longer. No, it's more like almost 500, 600 years by now. Listen, that was a long time ago when God brought him up. And listen, here's what he knows. You made promises and you kept your promises. Well, he's going to get more into that. Look at verse 54. So it was when Solomon had finished praying all the prayer of supplication to the Lord, that he rose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands up to heaven. Now, I kind of like this, right? This is a little dramatic. I understand, you know, and we don't need to be dramatic. But I kind of like the idea. Listen, man, a guy's been kneeling down. He's raising his hands. Raising our hands is good sometimes. And I know some of us were going, dude, I am never doing that in church. You know, that scares me. And it's okay. You don't have to. But sometimes it's good to do that. You're just kind of surrendering to God and let him know. And I look at Solomon here. He's surrendering. He's letting God know. And listen, this isn't during a worship, you know, quote, music worship time. This is time he's just worshiping his God. And he's letting him know, Lord, you are King of kings, Lord of lords, and I'm trusting you. So he's done with his prayers. He's got his hands up. It says, then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, now this is kind of cool. He's done praying. Now he's going to talk to the people. And here's what I'm thinking. The people are already going, dude, we heard the prayer. Like you're freaking us out, right? You freaked us out with that prayer because that was quite an intense prayer. I challenge you. I know we kind of went through it. I challenge you to go home and read it again. Meditate on it a little bit. Kind of figure of all the things he was saying and how you would feel if you were standing there that day as a Jew listening to it when everything is good. Remember, everything in their country's good right now. They're on top of the world, so to speak. And Solomon has just talked about things on the bottom of the world, right? How can that be? How can that be? We've been so, you know, so powerful and so strong and we've done so well. Sound kind of familiar? How can it be? How can it be? How can that happen to us? Well, it's going to happen to you. It's coming. And Solomon turns around, he announces or he blessed them with a loud voice. And here's what he said in verse 56. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised through his servant Moses. I love that verse, don't you? Solomon is declaring that not one thing God told Moses failed. Nothing. That's our God. We worship the same God. He's just as faithful today as he was in that day. And he's faithful to us, and we need to understand that. We need to grasp that. And once again, I think we think, well, if it didn't go my way or didn't go the way I think it should go or didn't do what I wanted it to do, then you know what? God's not fair. Well, you know what? Life's not fair. And this is going to sound really callous. Get over it. It's not fair. Just not. And God never said everything's going to be fair and square, right? Here's what he said. I'll be with you. What did he tell Israel? I'll be with you. Where is he? He's with them. And that should be the only thing that matters. You see, so he lets them know not one thing has failed. I love that. You know, that's a verse you need to highlight and circle and mark. And I put exclamation points in my Bible, you know, so when I read that, I kind of, yes. And then he says this, verse 57, May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers, and may he not leave or forsake us that he may incline, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in his all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that which he commanded our fathers. Do you hear what he's saying? Listen carefully. Solomon understands that you can't do this on your own. Did you hear what he just said? He says, God, you're the one that is going to have to change our hearts. You're the one that is going to have to give us the will to keep your commandments. You're the one that's going to have to give us the ability to walk in your ways. Because if you don't give it to us, we can't do it. And you know what? We need to understand that today. And then he goes on, listen, then he goes on in verse 59. He says, and may these words of mine, with which I've made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God, day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day may require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as it is this day. So that's Solomon's prayer. That's Solomon's little speech to the people. Kind of short to the people, right? Long to God, short to the people. That's kind of a cool thing to think about. And then, listen, now comes the fun part. It says, then the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifices to the Lord. Now check this out. This blows my mind. And Solomon offered a sacrifice of peace offering, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. Wow. I mean, do you read that and get a little bit overwhelmed? Here's what I'm thinking. I am so glad, man, I was not a priest in those days. That's a lot of butchering to do, isn't it? Man, you read that and I'm thinking, really? I mean, who butchers 22,000 bulls in a day? Oh, and then you're not done. Now you got 122,000 sheep. You know, that altar seems awful small. Now, when you look at pictures of it, it seems really big. Now you got all this stuff to barbecue? That's a lot, right? It's like, oh my word. And I read this and I think, check this out. Listen, in Numbers, you got to read Numbers too. Read Numbers chapter 7. You don't have to read just read Numbers 788. I'll even give you the verse. But listen, when Moses dedicated the tabernacle, check this out, 24 oxen and 180 sheep and goats. That seems like a lot, right? Now, over 400, 500, 600 years later, they're doing 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. Every time I read that, I go, that is insanity. And here's what I love. Then the critics go, I think that was an error. I don't think they could have done that. Well, listen, keep your finger here. Go to Chronicles. We're going to learn something in Chronicles here. Go to Chronicles. Go to the end of chapter 6. We got to read part of this end of chapter 6, and chapter 7 will kind of fill us in here. But you got to go to verse 40. Go to verse 40 of chapter 6 in 2 Chronicles. He says, now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and your ear attentive to the prayer made in this place. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, do not turn away the face of your anointed. Remember the mercies of your servant David. Isn't that kind of an interesting ending? A little bit more than what we got in Kings. And then it says, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven, woohoo, right? And it consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now we're going to read about the fire and what the fire consumed. And the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. It sounds almost like we read last week, right? When they first put the ark in and all of that. Now listen, I believe some more came down. And you know what? I was really wanting to get like a smoke machine. So when we did this tonight, we go, but anyway, the board wouldn't approve it. So just pretend. Listen, and the smoke, and then it says, listen, when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple and bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement, and they worshiped and they praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices to the Lord. King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 bulls. Here we go again. 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people of Israel dedicated the house of God, and the priest attended to their services, the Levites. Now here's the fun part. So listen, this lets us know a little bit more. There wasn't just fire and there wasn't just a barbecue going on. You get what I'm talking about? They're sacrificing all of those bulls, all of those sheep. Now we got a worship team happening here. Listen, it says all the priests attended their service, the Levites also, with the instruments of music of the Lord, which King David had made to praise the Lord, saying, "For his mercy endures forever." Whenever David offered praise to the by the ministry, the priest sounded trumpets opposite them, and all Israel stood. So here's what's going on. They're doing the sacrifices. Now they got the worship team. And if you remember, we read last week, there was 120 trumpets, right? Now last week they were in the building. Now they're outside. And they got some stuff going on outside. So they have all the stringed instruments. They have the trumpet. They have some worshiping here. You kind of getting the idea? This was a pretty celebratory time. This is a time like, yes, our God is here. And they're pretty excited, almost as excited as you guys were earlier tonight. Almost. And listen, then they go on. Furthermore, Solomon consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord, for he offered burnt offerings and the fat of peace offerings, because the bronze altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offering and the grain offering and that of the fat. Now go back. We're going to finish up in Kings. So go back to Kings. We'll read some of this. It's very similar again. And it says in verse 65, it says, "At that time Solomon held a feast, and all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt." You guys kind of got an idea of where that is? Neither do I. But it's, listen, he's letting us know something. It's a huge area. And I don't know where the Brook of Egypt was or the entrance to Hamath. And you kind of look on your Bible maps in the back and it's not there. And you do things. But listen, bottom line, I kind of get a picture in my mind as you think about the hills of Judea and where Jerusalem is and then the hills surrounding Jerusalem. I kind of think they just filled up that whole area and people are all over there. And they're there and they're having a feast. Now, here's what's kind of fun. They did that before the Lord. Check this out. 7 days and seven more days for 14 days. Now you can understand why they could do 22,000 bulls and 120,000 sheep. They didn't do them all in one day. 14 days, man. Here's what they're doing. They did it 7 days and someone goes, "Oh no, let's keep going." You know, I think we sort of lose that sometimes, and I understand we're a different culture, different time, and we do things, but could you imagine doing church for 14 days straight? That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? We're going to start now. We've locked the doors. No, but it would be kind of fun, wouldn't it? You know what's interesting? Up in northern Arizona on the Navajo Reservation, they kind of do that. They'll have a big like meeting, and they just go nonstop. Now here's what they don't tell, you know, the foreigners as you go in there, is they come and go, right? So they'll come for part of it and then they'll go rest. And they'll do a meeting for four solid days. But people don't stay there in the entire 4 days. They listen to some of it, then they go rest, then they come back. But you know, you're there, you don't know, and you're there by day four going, "Oh, I'm hanging with them." And they're going, "Dude, why are you so tired?" "Well, I've been here for 4 days." "Really? You didn't go to sleep? What's the matter with you?" But these guys went for 14 days. Now listen, again, I think they went home and came back. But 14 days of celebrating. Are you kind of getting the idea this was a big deal? It was a really big deal. Hey, read history and stuff. How many places celebrate for 14 days an event like this? You know what they're celebrating? The temple. The temple. And bottom line, here's what they're celebrating. Their God. Their God. Their God showed up and he was there. And listen, they're doing that. So and then it says, listen, verse 68, on the eighth day, he sent the people away and they blessed the king, meaning the second eighth day, right? Not the first eighth day, but the second eighth day. So really it was the 15th day. Right? So you picking up on that? He sent them away to their tents. Listen, joyful and glad of heart for all the good that the Lord had done for his servant David and for Israel, his people. Everybody went home saying, yes, we have a great God. And I believe, listen, I believe that should happen every time we get together. When we leave, we should be understanding we have a great God. We shouldn't be leaving going, that was a good message. We should be leaving going, I have a great God. I have a good God. My God is great. My God is phenomenal. Man, I learned something about my God tonight, and I'm not going to forget that. That's what it's all about. So these people went home celebrating. And I think, listen, I think this is like, this is the top. This is it for Israel. We've reached the very, 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 very top. And now here's what's going to happen for the nation of Israel from that moment even till today. Why? One reason. They forget their God. What happens to our life when we forget our God? Right? It does every time. I know. I experience it. I'm no different than everybody else. I forget God in my life and I say, God, why am I down here? Well, because you forgot me, Pat. Really? Yeah. But here's the great thing. You can always repent. Repentance is a gift from God. And he gives us that gift and we come back. And what did Solomon say over and over and over and over in this prayer? When they seek your face, when they pray to you, when they cry out to you, when they make supplication to you, any term you want to plug in there, hear, O Lord, and forgive. And that's the God we serve. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you tonight as we think about your word. And Lord, just how powerful this time must have been for the children of Israel, for the nation of Israel. How powerful it must have been for Solomon as he stood at that temple and watched those things going on. And God, I pray now, I pray for us here tonight that we would understand how great our God is. And as we read and think about Solomon just exalting you over and over and understanding the key to a relationship with the one who made the heavens and earth, a God who cannot be contained, the key to the relationship is being open and honest and real. And so I pray tonight as we get ready here and have a time of invitation and, Lord, just a time of lifting up our hearts to you, I pray that we would be real with you. That, Lord, you would do the work that you need to do in every one of our own hearts to draw us closer to you. That honesty and that prayer and that supplication and that crying out would be happening all through this room tonight. And that, Lord, you would hear our prayer and that we would be healed. And God, that you would glorify yourself in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.